God, we do believe and acknowledge that you are great, that you spoke and creation happened, that at your imagination and your vision, everything that we've experienced in reality occurs. God, we understand that you are so great, that you give us breath and life. God, we understand that you are so great that what we experience, even in the laws of nature, they exist because you commanded them to exist. That you gave order to all of creation because you are powerful and you are enormous. And we believe that you're great, that you conquered death. That it does not have the last word anymore because you are too big and too powerful for it. But even with your greatness, God, we believe paradoxically that you're close to us. That in some wild way, you experience life with us. And that when we hurt, you hurt. And when we get stuck, you are calling us forward to something else. That when we harm ourselves or we get into behaviors that are not healthy, that it breaks your heart and you want something better for us. So God, we believe that you are great and we believe that you are also here with us. So God, help us to be inspired by both of those things. Help us to find joy in following after you. Help us to find joy in being kind and compassionate. Help us to find joy in speaking the truth in love. Help us to find joy in forgiving and releasing our grudges and biting our tongues when we need to. God, help us to find joy even in some crazy way when we hurt and we face things that just seem like we cannot get out from under them. We believe the promise that you give us, that you will help us through your Holy Spirit to have joy in those circumstances. So God, for my brothers and sisters who are here, they're feeling beat up and worn out, would you give them a deep breath and remind them that you are going through it with them, that you are in the trenches with them and you have not left them alone? God, would you give them hope today? Would you help us all to remember, God, that the things that we've done or that have been done to us that are brutal, that you don't remember them anymore when we ask for forgiveness. You put them as far as the east is from the west, and you drown them in the sea of your forgetfulness, and they are done, and they do not have power and effect over us. Help us to believe that, God, and to act like it. Today we pray for our brothers and sisters at the Wesley United Methodist Church. Thank you for their ministry, God. Thank you for their faithfulness to you in this community. Continue to give them fresh visions and fresh insight. Help them to move forward. God, bless them with your presence and do the same for us. God, help us to be a community of people who bear one another's burdens, who share one another's joys, and who show compassion more than we show judgment, because mercy always wins over judgment, because that's your very nature. That's who you are. And we want to have some family resemblance to that, God, because we believe that we are your kids. And so as your kids, we want to offer you this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. How we doing today? Loving the sunshine and the hints of spring. We are in the second part of a four-part series on keeping the momentum. Last week, Pastor Jared kicked off the series with an invitation to think about, in the month of April, I will, and fill in the blank. And so I want to continue that for folks who maybe were not there last week or haven't determined how you want to fill that blank in. Some of the suggestions that we have were things like You might want to gather your neighborhood together for a party, or you might want to just go next door and meet your neighbors, which so often we don't know the folks who live on either side of us. It might be that you've determined that you've gotten a little too skinny over the last season, and so you need to put on 5 or 10 pounds. Whatever it is that you're going to write into that blank, feel free to do that and think about what you're going to need to do in order to pursue it. But then on April 28th, we're going to have this huge celebration where we're going to call it Victory Lap. Pastor Jared has already said that he is going to run from Celebration Center at 4:30, and at 6 o'clock, we will be at the downtown location. So he's going to run 2.6 miles in an hour and a half. I think he's going to be power walking, really. I'm going to promise you that I'm not going to run 2.6 miles because I want to be there at 6 o'clock. I'd be in the emergency room otherwise. And so, but however you want to get from here to there, we invite you, encourage you to please do that. And we're going to have this wonderful celebration of not I will in April, but I have in April. And I think it's going to be a great thing, and I think it would be worth your time to really consider what one or two things you might want to use to fill in that blank during that time. Now, just as an aside, we've been using the book of Proverbs as our base study for this message. When I was in college, I had a friend. I mean, that's all I wanted to tell you. I had a friend. No, I had a friend that we made a determination for the years that we were in college, we were going to read a proverb chapter a day. And we did it with the corresponding date. So on April 14th, we would have read the 14th chapter of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters in the book. It's a real good discipline. And it might be something you want to put on your list in April. I will. So there you go. Let's pray. Good morning, Lord. It's good to be in your presence today. It's good to be with your family. To know that there's a place for each of us and all of us in the family of faith. To know that in your love, there is a mighty forgiveness and a mercy that is beyond compare. Lord, as we have sung songs of praise and as we've prayed prayers of faith, help us to be diligent in the study of your word, that it would not simply be an exercise of our mind, but an opening of our heart to the ways that you would shape and form us. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, I would say in the top 10 all-time favorite movies of mine would be the movie Sister Act. Whoopi Goldberg was just this incredible lounge singer who later was put in a witness protection program, and that landed her in a monastery. Can you imagine her under cloak and habit among nuns trying to hide out from those who are pursuing to bring evil and harm to her? She is quickly ushered into the one who will be the leader of the sisterhood's choir. Problem is, the choir can't sing. I mean, there's no awareness of tune, there's no awareness of pitch, there's no awareness of volume. Literally, they have to stomp on the floor. Alma, check your batteries, as she's playing the piano. Well, in one fateful moment, as she gathers them together and offers them the opportunity to express their very best, the sisters line up and sing this amazing chord that you just have to imagine that even all the angels in heaven just stop for a moment and go, oh, wow. They were so taken back by their own abilities, they really didn't even know what to do. But the way she got this chord out of them was not by talking to them about lung expansion and projection. But what she did do was she talked about attitude and praise and confidence. And what she was giving them was imagination. Now contrast that with the thing that has taken the sports world by storm recently, the former coach of Rutgers, Mike Rice, who under the word of discipline would throw balls in people's faces and come up and slap players and curse at them and do all kinds of things that for anybody else would have been considered abuse. When we think about the word discipline, oftentimes we think about the negative side of discipline. And yet, when discipline shows up in Scripture, it always is brought to a place where people are led to imagine life in a different way. like the choir who couldn't sing, imagining that you can sing. Today we're going to explore the idea of discipline in Scripture, because discipline and imagination go hand in hand, and that's always been the case. Now, when we talk about Scripture, the words for the creation are ex nihilo, God creating something out of nothing. But after God creates something, it was still in a raw state, in a raw form. In fact, the word is tohu wabohu. Doesn't that sound like a fun word? Want to say it out loud? Go ahead, let's do it. Tohu wabohu. That is Hebrew for formless and void. That is Downing speak for my daughter's dorm room, okay? I mean, because it's not merely the word formless and void, it's a word that also is used for deserted, uninhabitable, chaotic. And that's exactly the description we would have given to Crystal's dorm room during the day. When she went as a freshman to the University of Missouri, she and her roommate decided they weren't going to sleep in the traditional bunk beds that they had in their room. Oh, no. They dismantled those and had maintenance take them away. Instead, they placed in the middle of the room a large camping tent. And that's what they slept in their room. And their camping tent looked a whole lot like an Israelite encampment, if you will. There were rings of clothing that extended out from ground zero. And so here's the tent. There's a little tiny path that you can negotiate to get in to where the tent is. And the first ring was all clothing that had been cleaned and you're good to go, wear it. The next ring was, we've worn this once or twice. We think we can get away with wearing this again once or twice. The third ring was, it smells, it's funky, you probably ought to get rid of it. I kid you not, her room was tohu wabohu. Now, in a play on words, Scripture says that God took tohu, that which was deserted, that which was uninhabitable, that which was chaotic, and he made it tov, which is good. What kind of imagination does it take chaos and make it good? Creation is all about disciplining and cultivating and bringing forth the best. And God did that very thing. So often we associate with discipline the ideas of restrictive phrases like, you can't, you shouldn't eat, you better not touch. And while there's an element of that, with every don't, there's a do. I mean, think about it with me. The Ten Commandments, don't commit adultery. What's the do? Be faithful in your marriage. Don't steal. What's that mean? Cherish what is yours. Don't lie. Tell the truth. See, with every don't, there's a do. There's this element of imagination of what could be beyond just what simply is right now. In Scripture, discipline doesn't lead to frustration or disappointment. It leads to something else. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17 says, he who heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction or instruction goes astray. Did you catch it? Discipline shows the way to life. See, a recovering alcoholic would never tell you that their discipline is deadly. They would say, it's a way to new life. The person who is consumed with worry, who then determines, I don't want worry to have the best of me, will never tell you that that discipline, that new way of thinking is deadly. They will say, it's a new way of living and probably a new way of having a good night's sleep just as well. And so Jesus comes along and he looks at these people who are broken and hurting and they think, that's all life has to offer me. And Jesus says, but I want to touch you and heal you. And sometimes he does that by speaking a word. Other times it's by offering a touch. And then there are these odd moments when Jesus says, well, go tell a priest after you've been healed, or go jump in this giant bathtub and wait for the angels to stir it. Or let's put some mud in your eyes and then wash them and you'll be able to see again. Or he gives them a holy wet willy and sticks his finger in their ears and they come out being able to hear again. And do you think any of those people would say, don't touch me, I don't want the mud, if they knew what the end result would be? What about you? If you and I believed that we had the capacity to live good lives, would we take him up on that? I mean, really, you know, when somebody actually says to you, you're a really good person, and you're, oh, no, I'm not. That was a really good thing you did. Oh, it's nothing. We're going to pass it off. But God believes in you and me sometimes more than we believe in ourselves. Like, I truly believe that God believes every one of us has the capacity to forgive. That not one of us has the inability to forgive. It's a matter of, do I choose to forgive? Will I do that? He can see it. Can you? Sometimes the very thing, the very person that you need to begin with in terms of forgiveness is forgiving yourself. And you should. It's a beautiful gift. I also believe that God believes that you and I can be patient people. Now, it may take a long, long time, and there may be many, many challenges and circumstances and opportunities to pass the test. But he can see it in us, even when we don't see it in ourselves. That's imagination. Now, another word that we associate with imagination is the word improvisation. It's where you take a theme and you make it your own. And I got this text from my grandson the other day. He wanted me to see how good he was being as a eater. And so he simply sent me this picture that says this right there. Isn't that cool? So, you know, if you got to play with your food, that's a good way to do it right there. And I love the fact that he is a good little eater, but he made that bagel his own. Just last Tuesday night, Nikki Funk was leading a group of people in a yoga class. And since Pastor Jared went the week before, I felt kind of obligated to go this week. And I didn't want to show everybody up with my amazing prowess as a yogi expert. And so I stood on the back row. And I won't say who was around me, but you know who you are. You're in here too. There were 18 women and 6 men. And Nikki made everyone feel so comfortable. Lisa made me feel comfortable when she said, you know, if you can only raise your hand this high, that's as high as you're supposed to raise it. Don't be looking around. You can close your eyes. You need to make this movement your own. And I thought that was absolutely brilliant. It was very freeing for a guy who felt very awkward in a predominantly women's class. There was one movement towards the middle of the class where she said, now I want you to bend your right leg and hover over it. I want you to keep your left leg straight. I want you to reach down and put your right arm inside your right leg, and I want you to lift your left arm to the sky. And I thought, if my children walk in this place, they're going to think their father has absolutely lost his mind. And I'm all stretched out, you know, doing this thing. And the song that comes to my mind is, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And I could not get that out of my head. Please do not ask me why. I mean, really, don't ask me why. Okay, so here's the deal. If I keep doing that, someday when my father, who's 77 years of age, who comes to the house regularly and brags about, can you do this? And he goes straight down and puts palms on the floor with legs straight. Someday, I might be able to make it just to here, just enough to impress him, you know? Thanks, Nikki, for a good time on Tuesday night. Discipline does not lead us to being more right. It leads us to life and a healing. Hebrews chapter 12 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Yep, Tuesday for sure. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. And if you catch the drift of that last part, you understand that discipline is not about abusing your body, mind, or spirit. It's not about exacting pain. That's abuse. Discipline leads you to something more. It's imagining your life being something better than you dreamed. And if you don't take anything else away from this message, take this. God does not harm us. God does not want to bring evil into our lives. He does not want bad things to come to us, nor does he do bad things to us. He sees us through the bad things, and he experiences the bad things with us so much that if you need to be carried during this moment of your life, he will carry you and me. And he loves you enough to say, life doesn't have to remain in this broken place. See your life in the light of my love. Yesterday, about midday, I was pulling out of Bings, and I was on limit, and at 16th Street, traffic had been backed up by the light. So here's my car, and the car in the lane next to me is further ahead so that the back windows are in line with my windows. And there's a little boy who's obviously enjoying the beautiful springtime. And so he has his window rolled halfway down. He's blonde hair, blue eyes, maybe four, maybe five. And he looks over at me as he's sitting in his safety seat, and he goes. And so I go. And I'm thinking, well, we made a little connection here, and the light hadn't changed, so I go. And so he goes. And so I go. And he goes. And I go. And he goes. And I go. And he goes. If you didn't get the part about make it your own, see, when you're led to imagine your life differently, that's discipline. When you exercise self-control, that's discipline. When you believe that God can really bring about good in you and through you, that's discipline. When you understand whose child you are, it's the beginning of discipline. Proverbs 3 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, just as a father in a son delights. Let's pray. God, thank you for holy moments. Thank you for times when you break into what we call life, but looks more like existence. Thank you for waking us up to know that every day is a gift for you, and that we should cherish the moments and the people and the experiences. Bring about a new imagination in us all to see ourselves in the way you see us, as people who have the capacity to forgive, people who have the capacity to be good, to live good lives, as people who can be patient, as people who can see God's stirring in their midst. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Over the next few moments, we're going to be playing a song. I'd love for you to listen to that as a background of your prayer. For those who would like to have someone pray with them, we'll have some folks available at the altar. Let's all be in the spirit of prayer. Let me invite you to stand. I want to offer a word of blessing, and thank you so much for being with us in worship this weekend. And now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Go in God's grace. Have a great week, everybody.